Okay, so today is our Vision Sunday. Every year on the last Sunday of January, we devote the service to reflecting on some aspect in Scripture on the church. We review our vision and our mission, and we review what God has done in this past year through our church. And from there, we renew our focus. That is where we believe God is taking us this next year. And then we close by responding to the work of God in and through the church. And then 15 minutes after the service, we will have our annual meeting or the annual business meeting that we have as a corporation. If you are a member, we highly encourage you to come. Actually, it's not a requirement, but when we rewrite the Constitution, I'm going to make it a requirement if you're a member. And we are making it more meaningful. We're adding stuff to it. We're having people give highlights of different areas of ministry. And so I think it'll be more meaningful for you. And we are providing childcare. Okay. And we did turn on the heat in the gym. Just for you to know. Okay. So let's begin by reflecting on Matthew 6:16-18. And my message today is Christ builds his church. Christ builds his church. In Homer, and I'm told all over Alaska that homeowners have a tendency to build their own homes, their own houses, more than in other places. And 20 years ago, when Karen and I started looking around to purchase a home, we began to realize that that was true. And you realize that if someone builds their house, some of them know what they're doing and they did a great job. Some of them didn't know what they're doing and didn't do such a great job. And it became very apparent to us that after a few houses, or actually several houses we looked at, that we wanted to find a house that was well built by someone that knew what they were doing, preferably a builder or somebody who had worked in the building trades, so that the structure was sound. And fortunately, the church is built by Jesus Christ, someone who knows what he is doing and how to build his church. And though the church is imperfect by design, Christ promises to build his church. And that should give us great confidence as we are involved in church and church life. So let me read Matthew chapter 16, verses 16 through 18, and then we'll look at passage more thoroughly. Matthew 16, verses 16 through 18. Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus, who is not just the Lord over heaven and earth, but the Lord of his church. Not just the Lord over his church, but he is the great shepherd of the church. And I pray, Lord, that as we look at this couple of verses and spend a few minutes looking at that and then looking at what you've done in throughout church, Lord, first of all, I ask, Lord, by your Spirit, that you would use me through the gift of teaching and preaching. And Lord, but we also desperately need your Spirit to work through each one of us as we listen, as we hear, that we would see realities of who Jesus is and how he builds his church and how he works through his church and how he works through imperfect people, dependent people, so that his power, his glory, and his might is on display. And so, Lord, I pray for your Spirit to work both ways through me as a speaker and the rest of us as the listeners, to be encouraged, to bring clarity, to see our role and our place in your church. In Jesus' name, amen. So here's my big idea. My big idea is that Jesus promises to build his church. This promise is a triumphant promise. It is a triumphant promise. There's two points I want to bring out in the text. The first point is The church belongs to Christ, and the second point is that Christ, or the church, is built by Christ. Let's look at that first point. The church belongs to Christ. Jesus says, the church is my church, or the church is his church. I will build my church. The church, every church, and our church belongs to Jesus Christ. Therefore, Jesus is our focal point. We worship Jesus, we rely on Jesus, and we fulfill Jesus' mission of making disciples. The church belongs to Jesus Christ because he loved the church, he died for the church, and now he works on behalf of the church. We see this in Acts 20, 28. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flocks. This is Paul talking to the Ephesians elders, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his blood. And then in verse 17, Jesus makes a point in his response. Look at verse 17. And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Human ability, human reason, did not come to this conclusion. Peter believed because God the Father revealed this to him by the Spirit. You and me, I come to faith in Jesus Christ. We embrace the gospel. We believe the gospel because of the work of the Spirit ultimately. Not because you're smarter, not because you're better, not because you're greater than the next person, but because God in his grace and his mercy opened up your eyes to see the beauty of the gospel and wooed you in such a way that you said, yes. Theologians call it irresistible. Why would you say no? Because the work of the Spirit in your life. When I was pursuing Karen, my wife, and I pursued her, she didn't know me that first summer. We started spending time together, but as I wooed her, took her, for then it was yogurt. We would go out for yogurt in a group. We would go out for yogurt, and we would buy yogurt, and then it came to a place where I was dating her, and I would buy her yogurt. We wouldn't get anything on the yogurt, not because that was extra, because it was healthier to get frozen yogurt by itself. No, I'm just kidding. But the more she got to know me and the more that I pursued her and wooed her, when I asked her to finally marry me, I didn't have to convince her. I didn't have to arm wrestle her. I didn't have to threaten her by throwing her off of, hanging her off the cliff when we were on the edge of the bluffs, which were called Palisades Bluff. And I made her a picnic. I didn't have to hang her over the edge because by then she wanted to marry me. Why would she not want to marry me by that point? I don't know why you think that's funny. Us, we do not save ourselves. Christ builds his church. So the first point is that the church belongs to Christ, and the second point is that the church is built by Christ. The church is built by Christ. Jesus says again, I will build my church. That is a promise. It is not a hopeful promise. It is not a wishful promise, but it is a triumphant promise. Jesus can say something will happen because Jesus makes it happen. He can promise this because the growth of his church and the building up of his church is a supernatural work of the Spirit. We see this in Acts 2:47, where it says, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. And then in 1 Peter 2:5 says this: "You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." The work of the church, people coming to faith, being built up in Christ, is the supernatural work of the Spirit. You and I are wholly dependent upon God for that work. Does that mean we don't do anything? No. We expend energy and effort, but it's God that is working through our effort. You being encouraged every Sunday as you gather here or in a life group or in your discipleship group is dependent upon the work of the Spirit in you and through others to encourage you. Do not think that this is just a purely intellectual exercise or a social exercise or even a social experiment. The gathering of God's people, when we come together to worship God, is an encounter with the living Lord Jesus Christ mediated by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is working whether you feel it or sense it or not. So let me just give you an application of that. If you do not come on a Sunday morning with any forethought to your dependence upon God, preparing your heart and your mind, do not expect or be guaranteed that God is going to work in your heart. If you do not think about God before you walk inside these doors, do not expect that God is going to automatically work by His Spirit in and through the preaching of His Word, or even through worship. If you leave and you didn't get anything out of the service, don't necessarily blame the worship leader or the preacher, but maybe it's your lack of preparation beforehand. I'm not doing that to beat you up. I'm doing that to help you to realize you and I need to be intentional about our meeting together. We need to be intentional about gathering together. I would hope that no married man here would not wake up on the anniversary of his wedding day without giving any thought to what he was going to do with his wife that day. If you do that, let me encourage you, that's probably not going to go well for you. Or if you're in school and you show up at class and you haven't read the assignment, or Sunday school, and you haven't done the homework, do not expect to get a good grade out of that class. What's my point? My point is preparation. When I sit down and read my Bible and pray in the morning, I prepare my heart because I need God to work in and through my heart by His Spirit. So I pray two prayers from the Psalm. Lord, open my eyes that I would see wonderful things from your law. That is, unless you do something now spiritually with my ability to hear, see, and read, working through that effort of mine by your Spirit, I will have gained nothing from this exercise. And the second prayer is, Lord, incline my heart to your word that I would obey it. That is, Jesus, you need to do something in this interaction, this transaction that I'm having right now as I'm relating to you as a person. Your Spirit must do something in my heart that I see and that I want to do it. Right? Because you can't change your wanter. I can't change my wanter. God has to change the wanter. Okay, I know I'm on a tangent, so let's move on. That was free. Paul said, I planted, Apollos Apollos watered, but God gave growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives growth. Now, do you see what he says? Paul says that I planted, another person watered. That is, we're expending energy, we're expending effort in ministering to other people. But then he goes on to say, but I'm insignificant. That is, I'm a secondary purpose or secondary means. The primary dependency on my efforts is God, who does it all through me. And God is the one who gives the growth. This promise is given to the apostles, God's inspired proclaimers of the gospel. God builds his church on the gospel. That's why we like to say that we are a gospel-centered church. And I was posting the job for associate pastor on some postings this last week, and one of the characteristics that we call our church is a gospel-centered church, because I want people that to apply, and we want people that are cut to come on to work with us to be a gospel-centered people. That is, the gospel is what we breathe in. It's what we live. It's how we walk out the Christian life. The church, both the universal church and the local church, is ultimately not dependent upon human wisdom, human initiative, and human willpower, but on the wisdom, power, and faithfulness of the risen and exalted Christ to keep his promises. Because Christ promises to build his church, the gates of hell will not prevail against it, Jesus said. The gates that he's referencing here are the entrances to the city, or would be the entrance to a city, and in this case, the entrance to the realm of the dead. All the power of hell and death could not hold on to Christ. He defeated death and the devil, so hell and death cannot overcome his church. Let me tell you something. The Christian life goes like this, right? Church life goes like this. History of the church goes like this. But ultimately, all that he intends to accomplish throughout all history through his church. The church, the mission of the church is ultimately invincible. That is, it cannot be stopped. In fact, the setbacks within the church or in the church often become opportunities for Christ to build his church. So in Acts chapter 8, after the stoning of Stephen, persecution hit the church. And as a result of persecuting hitting the church was scattered. That is, they left Jerusalem for fear of their lives. And as they went out into the Gentile regions, and they carried the gospel. When Jesus left, he told his disciples that the gospel must go out, not just to Israel, but to the Gentiles. But at that point in time, the Jewish church was having a hard time doing what Jesus said, because they could not imagine that the gospel was supposed to go to Gentiles. God accomplished his purpose of extending the gospel to the Gentiles through persecution. Persecution was God's means of accomplishing his purposes so that the church would fulfill his command. It's a promise of Romans 8:28. God causes all things to work for the good of his people and the glory of his name. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas are preaching the gospel, and some people come to faith. And as a result of that, they are put in jail. And as a result of Paul and Silas in jail, God saves the Philippian jailer and his family. Christ builds his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Christ builds his church through the mission of the church and the ministry of the church. The mission of the church is making disciples. We see this in Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. The mission that Jesus gave us to his church was to make disciples. And at heart, at the core of who we are as a church, we are intentionally focused on making disciples in a relational context. Actually, making disciples, but really what we want to do is make disciple makers who will multiply the process. We are intentional about making disciples. So we have an intentional discipleship process. Our discipleship pathway is like a funnel that funnels everyone towards discipleship groups. Our pathway moves from Sunday morning services, where we gather together and identify with the larger body of Christ, and we move towards life groups where community is built and where caring, sharing, and shepherding happens. And from there, we move people towards our discipleship groups, which are gender-based, 3 to 5 people that is more transparent, more intimate, and very intentional about encouraging people in their discipleship to Jesus and equipping them to disciple others to follow Jesus. And we have a pathway because a pathway simplifies our process for making disciples. Some churches, their goal is to have all kinds of programs. And it's kind of like a smorgasbord. And if you remember, you go to those all-you-can-eat places and you would walk down the aisle and you just grab what you want. We don't do that. We have an intentional process where everything moves people towards our discipleship groups. And so our goal as elders is to have everyone who's a member of CCC specifically, but everybody who is part of CCC and calls CCC their home, is to move them towards discipleship groups for encouraging you in your discipleship to Jesus and equipping you to disciple other people. And so implicit in the command to make disciples is sharing the gospel. And the elders have a long-term goal and a desire and are trying to implement a process in which we become more evangelistic as a church. Not that the church corporately is more evangelistic, not that we have more events where people bring people so they can hear the gospel, but that we as individuals live out the mission of God in our world, in our lives. That is, you and I see ourselves as servant missionaries sent by Jesus to live in Homer, but not just to raise a good family, not because it's the most beautiful place we've ever lived, not because the schools are great, not because of any number of reasons. It's because Jesus has sent us here to share the gospel with others. This is actually another free tidbit. I was just reading statistics on people who derail and basically drift from Christ. And one of the things that is a marker from statistics or from surveys is moving. Because when people move, they have a tendency to disrupt their patterns and their habits, and they don't get plugged back into a church. So let me just say, if you're thinking about moving, or if you know people that have moved, encourage them to get plugged into a church ASAP. And so what about you? Do you see yourself as living out God's mission, sharing the gospel with those that God has placed in your life? And you and I can't... Even that, we cannot force that or make that happen, but that has to be the work of God in our hearts, in our lives, and in the relationships with those around us, where God opens up doors for the gospel to be shared, and you walk through those doors because God has opened them up. Christ Christ builds his church. Christ also builds his church through the ministry of the church. The church is often described as a body with many parts. A body functions well, it's healthy when individual members of that body are doing their part. That is, they're using their gifts and abilities to build up the body of Christ. We see this one time in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, describes the metaphor of the body of the church. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. So we'll just close with this. If you call CCC your home, we want you to be part of our discipleship process. And if you call CCC your home, part of that is using your gifts and abilities to encourage and to help build up the church. So whether you have musical abilities or construction abilities, or maybe you have teaching gifts, maybe you have compassionate gifts or pastoral gifts or ministering gifts or just serving gifts or technology gifts. We need help with our website and our technology and our social media. Somebody actually just talked to me about social media today. As you use your gifts and abilities by the strength that the God gives you by his Spirit, you help build up his church so that we are more mature and become more Christ-like. And you find significance because you're exercising your God-given gifts in the power of the Spirit. So let me encourage you, if you call CCC your home, to get involved and to serve. And so here's my closing statement. Jesus' promise to build his church gives us great confidence. Jesus' promise to build his church gives us great confidence. God loves to work through frail and dependent people who recognize their inability because it exalts his great ability and his power and his glory. And so Christ promises to build his church through frail, imperfect, broken people because it highlights the power of the gospel and it exalts his power and his glory. So we are encouraged and he is made to look good. And that's the goal of the Christian life, is to make God look good. That is to bring glory to his name. Not that we add anything to God, but we display or we paint pictures of his glory for others to see. So now we're going to move to the next part of our service where we are going to summarize and review what God has done in and through our church this last year. And so we're going to review right there. There's a review. Okay. So review, some of this is going to be, I'm going to repeat myself, but that's okay. Review, Jesus gave us one mission to make disciples. We've had people come to CCC because they say, because of our focus on making disciples, and then we've had other people say, man, you guys focus too much on disciples, making disciples. The one mission that Jesus gave his church is to make disciples. Every church has to make disciples. It's just how you make disciples. But making disciples is not just coming to church, or not just even going to a class, not just listening to lectures, but I am convinced that life change happens most consistently when we are in accountable relationships with one another, where we're willing to open up our hearts and reveal our brokenness and our sinful to one another so that we can encourage one another and we can pray for one another. So we can go past the text because I just read the text. So let's go past the text. So this is how we define disciple. Make disciples who make disciples. So a disciple is someone who follows Christ or Jesus. A disciple is someone who follows Jesus. That is, they have repented of their sins and they've turned to Christ and they're following him as their Lord and Savior. They've become a Christian or a disciple. Second of all, a disciple is formed by Jesus. Jesus promises to conform us to his image as believers. And so we believe that Jesus is radically committed to your transformation more than you are. That should give you a lot of hope, particularly if you're struggling. And then third of all, a disciple is someone who is faithful to Jesus' mission. That is, they're committed to making disciples. And so my point of that is that Jesus gave us one mission, to make disciples. So let's just review our discipleship pathway again. This is something I just talked about. But our Sunday services are set up so that we identify with the Church of Jesus Christ, and we have expository preaching because we believe that expository preaching is the best way to normally preach and to regularly preach. It helps us to understand how to read our Bibles and how to think biblically about Scripture. And so coming on Sundays, we identify with the Church of Jesus Christ. Second of all, our life groups is the next step in our discipleship pathway. And life groups, as I said earlier, is the place where you're going to build community. That is, you're going to have relationships with people. You're going to become part of the family, where you're going to experience family. We have refrigerator rights, where you're going to share with people, where you're going to care for one another, and where you're going to shepherd one another. You don't like the refrigerator rights thing? Some refrigerators are better than other refrigerators. If you want to know what refrigerators to build relationship with, I can tell you. and then our discipleship groups. Our discipleship groups, I said earlier, are our most intentional, focused way in which we help and encourage one another to follow Jesus. So it has two aspects to it. Is you encouraging us in our discipleship to Jesus, our faithfulness to discipleship of Jesus, and then our equipping us to make disciples of other others. So let's look at our CCC distinctives. Our distinctives are the Word and the Spirit. So again, we are a Word-based people, so we put a lot of priority and a heavy emphasis on Scripture as the means by which God, by His Spirit, by which God changes and transforms us. So as I said earlier, we do expository, or focus on expository preaching on Sunday mornings. We have Sunday school, in which we're generally always teaching a class, a book of the Bible, and then we're having other classes that would be to offset or accent that. Right now we're doing Habits of the Household, and if you haven't gone, let me just encourage you to go. It is a great, I've gone to two, and I've looked at the book, and I've read the book, parts of the book, and the material, and it's helpful for families to establish habits in the home that will help you and help your children develop those habits. It was great discussion today. So I would encourage you to come 9:30 on Sunday mornings. Second of all, and this leads up to our second distinction, is Christian education. We have Sunday school and children's church, but our Sunday school is from all ages, from nursery all the way to adults, in which we're educating and training our church family in the Word. And then third is community. Community, we put a high priority on community. It's very common for people to say that when they come here, they really sense the community, they sense the friendliness. We believe that as a church, we are a family, and family spends time with one another, encourages one another, puts up with one another, and even confronts one another. Let me just encourage us. It is hard to point out and to address each other in areas of sin or weakness, but it is the most loving thing to do. To ignore it and not to say something to someone is to not be loving to them. I had one instance when I first came here, I had a individual, a woman, who became attached to me because I was ministering to her, I was counseling her, and at one point in this relationship, which wasn't a meaningful relationship on my part, this person became attached to me and was coming to me all the time, and it was an unhealthy dependence upon me. And when I talked to them, it did not go well. And when I told the elders about it, one of the elders told me, "Well, we knew that was going to happen." It's none of the elders that are here now, and I'm thinking, and I said, "Why did you not tell me that? It would have saved me and this other person and all the elders actually a lot of grief." So that's not necessarily directly, but it is just addressing issues with one another. Distinctives, community, and then making disciples. We've talked enough about that, so let's just move on to that one. So let's review. Our ministry focus this last year was, I mentioned it during the sermon, but it is to evangelism and missional living. And so I wrote up a 3 to 5 year plan, and I'm just going to give you a highlight of the plan. So part of this plan to help change our culture and help us to think more about being evangelistic or missional and to living that out is, one is through preaching and teaching and training, Sunday services to focus on some of that aspect. And we did do a series. Does anyone remember the fall series that I did? Before Hebrews? Well, you can't say it. My wife can't say it. Somebody else said it. Okay, open door. The person behind my wife. And one of the things is the elders are all pursuing relationships with people so that they have the opportunities to share the gospel. The Lord has opened up a couple doors for me to have relationships with non-Christians that I am intentionally building relationship with to help them, because there's just things in life that they're that they need help on. One of them is fly fishing. But also, this person is just going through lots of difficulties in life, and he's trying to sort out, how does my life make sense when I don't never been taught or never had any understanding of God in life? And incorporating evangelism into our life groups in different ways, and then in other areas of ministry, just incorporating more evangelistic focus in those areas of ministry. So that'll actually be our ministry focus for 2024. Okay, the next slide. So we've added two new staff. Ashley Gemmon is overseeing, or is our children's director. She came on end of August, and then Nick Bolin has taken over as the youth director over our youth ministry. And then the three outreaches that the church really focuses on every year is Easter, Harvest Carnival, and Christmas Eve. Harvest Carnival, we were more intentional about sharing the gospel this last year than we have been in previous years. We had 800 people come through the building, and lots of you helped, and we appreciate all the help because it takes a lot of people to put that on. We actually participate that with other churches in town. There's about 5 churches that help us put that on. And then our Christmas Eve service, again, we had over 300 people here. This was filled, the foyer was filled, and we have an opportunity just to share the gospel on Christmas Eve too, and have lots of people from the community come. And then some of the activities, other things, ministries that we did was the Men and Women's Retreat. VBS this last summer was the first time we did it for the summer for a whole week, and we had 100 kids in here throughout the week. Serve the City is an event that we did with other churches in town where we served the community, people that were not connected to the church at all, just as a way to serve our community. And so we had lots of different projects that our church was involved in. The PFD drive, which I'll explain about in just a minute, and then the short-term mission trip to McGrath and actually to Uganda. So let's review. The next slide is baptisms. So baptisms, we had 10 baptisms last year. We actually had a couple of people that were baptized outside of our services, but that just was during the service. So in 2021, we had 4, 22, we had 5, and then last year we had 10 baptisms. And most of those were through recent converts, people that had come to faith. Next slide. Attendance has grown from 132 last year to an average of 169 this year. Those are adults, adults and older kids. And then next slide, giving. Giving increased from 261,000 last year to 306,000 this 2023. We are a generous church. You are a generous church. And again, that's the grace of God. That's a work of the Spirit. And so we're very thankful, obviously, because it takes money to run a church, but it has given us the ability to do things that we wouldn't have done. And actually, the last month was, probably because of tax season, the last month, December, people gave a lot. So then this next one was benevolence. So I'm just telling you, since COVID, benevolence, before COVID, but in Homer, the benevolence need, the needs within the community have, I don't want to say escalated, but they've really gone up because of government cutbacks. There's just the different groups that have gotten government money, including the Salvation Army, doesn't get as much. And so we have more and more people coming to us. Luann Weber just took over the benevolence team, and Luann is a rock star when it comes to benevolence and working with people who are needy. Man, she just does, it's her heart, it's her passion. She has a good grasp of it and loves Jesus and the gospel, and she gets an opportunity to share the gospel when these people come in. We're just blessed to have her part of the team. So we gave $17,000 last year, and I'm thinking $17,000, that's 5% of our budget. I'm just thinking, where did we get that money? Okay, and then our PFD drive, we gave $14,000 compared to $22,000 last year. And again, that was in large part because we asked our body to give 10% of their PFD fund, and last year it was $3,000, and this year it was like $1,400. And that money went to a church in McGrath, Brad Sturm, who is setting up a base in McGrath to bring in missionaries, pastors, and church leaders to encourage them, to train them, to equip them, and to focus on their marriages. If you don't know anything about missions in Alaska, the missions in Alaska, whether in the village or the interior, is kind of like a graveyard. Because there's these people who are pioneers, and they just go out, and they have no support system, and they don't last, and they don't make it. So Brad is wanting to help combat that by being an encouragement to the churches in the bush. And then missions, we gave $54,000 in 2023 compared to $45,000, and that includes church planting. And again, our goal is to hit 25% of our budget in missions giving. And then our missions is we have local focus and then we have a international focus. Our international focus at this point is can't see it from me. So India, yeah, it's India and Peru. Those are where we have missionaries. And then our state focus is a Radiant Church plant in McGrath. And then our local focus is Water's Edge, which is the local pregnancy care center, the food pantry, and the Salvation Army. So let's look at renew our focus for this year. And because evangelism and missional living is a 3 to 5 year plan, that's our primary focus for this year. And the other thing we should focus on is an associate pastor too. And then respond. Thank God for building his church. You invited people. We have grown significant this last year, I think 30%, because you invited people to come to see church. And you shared the gospel, and so we have people that have come to faith this last year because you have shared the gospel, and you have served. And again, we appreciate everybody that serves at CCC. We can't do this without you, whether it's Sunday mornings, our life groups, our taking care of the building, which is a huge project, and you gave. And again, this $300,000, I was blown away when, in particular in the last month of December, that we got so much so much income. Okay, so let's move to the Lord's Supper now. If you're a Christian and you belong to a local church, whether it's here or at home, if you're visiting with us today, you are welcome to partake of the Lord's Supper with us, communion. We can celebrate what Jesus has done in his church this last year, and we can look forward in confidence, with confidence, what he's going to do in this coming year because of what he did for us on the cross. And the Lord's Supper celebrates what he did on the cross. So on the night that he was betrayed, he took a cup and he took bread and he said, "This is my body and this is my blood, which will be given for you on your behalf." Normally at a Passover meal, the person that was serving the meal would be talking about cutting up a lamb that was sacrificed, pointing them back to the Exodus. But Jesus is saying there's a new Exodus, and it's not because of a lamb that was going to be slain for you. It's not because of an animal that's going to be slain for you. It's because I am going to be slain for you. I'm going to be slaughtered on a cross, willingly, gladly, joyfully, going to the cross for your sake, for my sake. And so we celebrate not just what God has done in us individually and because of the gospel, but what he's done in and through us corporately as the body of Christ in Homer, Alaska, called CCC, or Christian Community Church. So come, eat the body and the blood of Christ. Eat and drink, expecting, believing that he's going to meet you and he's going to nourish you spiritually as you do. So come, take of the body and blood of Christ. Let's close with this benediction. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. And all God's people said, go in the grace and peace of Christ and in the power of his Spirit this week. And remember, we have the annual meeting for members and those who call CCC home, 15 minutes with childcare downstairs in the gym.